Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top five sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
Does the White Sox failure to sign Manny Machado indicate the franchise has an indenting crisis?
I think it's identity.
Yeah, well, I thought maybe this was just a little bit above my head. Do they have an identity or an indenting crisis? And do they view themselves differently than the sport, the media, and the public does?
That's every English teacher's nightmare, an indenting crisis.
I would say that I don't know that the White Sox have an identity crisis, but I do think they view themselves differently than perhaps other people do. And by that, I just mean maybe the only takeaway from the Manny Machado thing is that you have to understand, if you're the Chicago White Sox in your situation and you're trying to get a superstar generational talent, you kind of have to do what he wants to do. You can't. It's about him telling you what he wants. And frankly, the rule of free agency in any sport is that money talks, and you have to overpay to get a guy in free agency. If you're in the White Sox situation, you had to overpay to get Manny. I think everybody knew that. And they had these budgetary concerns and as far as they were going to go, and they tried to be creative and protect themselves. And I just think that, yeah, I think that they have to understand who they are and what their status is. And maybe it's a little difficult to do that. We've seen that happen with the Bears in this town. We've seen that happen with the Bulls in this town. I just think it is a very sobering and difficult thing to be able to look at yourself and say, you know what, here's our situation. If we want this guy, we're going to have to do something more than other teams in order to get him.
I think it's a really interesting question because it relates to the idea of identities are created by what? By perception. It's not always about the reality when you talk about an identity crisis. It's how do others view you? How do you view yourself?
Yes.
And I think what the White Sox did over the winter, whether they realized it or not, was they created this problem that they now face. They created the situation where everything was all about Manny Machado. And I understand why they did it, and I think people applauded them for going all out in the pursuit of an elite free agent, a 26-year-old guy entering his prime. But what that did was it forced now this sort of letdown, this sort of the rhetoric which Rick Hahn wants to remind people or emphasize that no one person, no one player is bigger than the rebuild. Well, you know what? They just spent the last 2 months telling us the opposite and creating the opposite idea. And I tend to agree with him, and I tend to think that when you take a step back and you look at things the way the White Sox are organizationally, they have a lot to feel good about, but right now, if you point that out, it sounds like you're being an apologist for the franchise, and it sounds like you're not seeing the forest for the trees. But I do believe that they have a lot of reasons for optimism based on their farm system, based on Jimenez, based on a lot of things, but they swung and they missed, and they missed out on a guy that they told us was the biggest priority for them this offseason. They emphasized Manny Machado over the rebuild. So I don't know if they could. That tells me they're not sure who they are, because if they were really an organization that was all about rebuilding, then they wouldn't have built up Manny Machado to getting him to be as big as it potentially could have been. They would have emphasized whether he's going to be, somebody who is we want to win with, we can build with, but it's all about the other guys. So I definitely think that there's an issue here that only time is going to help heal.
What makes this whole thing worse is you have two guys out there, 26 years old. They fit your expected window, and you swing and miss with one guy, and now they're not going after the other guy, I guess. And you had money banked from previous seasons and the usual suspects, Cubs, Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, Giants, reportedly really not involved here. So I do think they're suffering from a bit of an identity crisis here. Like, what do you think you are? Rick Hahn is on the station last night with Lawrence Holmes, something Mully just brought up, saying that it isn't fair to say they have to overpay. And you don't know who you are. You have to overpay to land these guys. You're coming off a 100-loss season on top of all that, and you are viewed as the second team in town. You know, I vehemently disagree with what Bruce had to say about, well, Manny just didn't want to bet on himself. But just think about that statement. That's what they need. They need a guy to take this immense risk, which is completely unnecessary, even though it is a lot of money, but he's throwing away supposedly $50 million guaranteed. They would need somebody to give in so much for them to land that guy after they've spent $0 over the past couple of years. So they think they're on the same level as everybody else, and the reality is they aren't.
Yeah, they're not, and I don't think that the perception of the White Sox is one of an identity crisis, because I think from the outside, we all view the franchise in a pretty similar fashion, whether it's fair or not. Sometimes the perception is reality, and what people think about the organization is that they're cheap and that their rebuild maybe, you know, it's hard to write it off at this point, and I'm certainly not doing that by any means, but they're not as far along as maybe they'd like to be at this point. Maybe that's due to injuries. Maybe that's due to a couple of the younger players underperforming at times. But I think that they definitely view themselves differently. And when I was listening to Rick Hahn on the station last night, I kind of scoffed a little bit when I heard him say that and talking about overpaying, because they do have to overpay. And I think everybody realizes it except for them. Are they going to go out now and spring on sale items since they missed out on Machado and they're going to miss out on Harper? I don't know what they're going to do. Maybe they'll just...
That's what Nightingale said. Did you see that? Yeah, he tweeted that out.
Yeah, but then...
Then they said, oh, no, we have an open line of communication with Harper. They're not going after Harper.
No.
If Harper doesn't want to play in Chicago.
And if they were to get him, they'd have to pay $400
million. And the second baseman signed with the
overpay.
Tigers. One of the guys he said that
Josh Harrison.
Josh Harrison,
he's going to be in a team even worse than the White Sox. But, hey, Carlos Gonzalez and Marwin Gonzalez are still out there. So
right.
Kenny always gets his man.
And Gio, right?
Gonzalez trio, yes.
Third time's a charm.
No relation with any of those gentlemen, by the way.
The third time with one of them in a trio of
They've been trying to get cargo for so long. And a decade ago, it would have been a great move. But here we are.
You know, there's no doubt that people are going to think that they have an identity crisis. But I said to Kevin right before we started the show, if I were a Meatball White Sox fan, and they're out there, and that's fine.
And I love them.
I'm a Meatball Cub fan. I would love what Tim Anderson had to say yesterday. I really would. Either you're with us or you're not. You know, we're all pulling in the same direction. If you want to be part of what we got going on, fine. I think, unfortunately, last year you had your second baseman of the future, your big ticket item that you traded for Chris Sale, and it didn't work out. Okay, but now this year is all about what? Aloy, right? Now, that's what you have to get excited about. So if he bombs, then you're going to feel bad again. But if he starts out hot or just even okay with time to grow, that's going to be the identity of this team. This team is either going to sink or swim next year, this coming baseball season, with how good Aloy does when he gets to the major leagues.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a question we're going to ask management here today.
It's so far been a rough 2019 for Chicago sports. Rank in order of disappointment: Cody Parkey missing with a double doink, the crying poor Cubs controversies, the Bulls woes, or the Sox missing out on Machado.
Woe is us. Wow, that's been a lot just in its only February, right? Thank you, Blackhawks, for kind of finding a way to make things interesting the last month. I'd go with still Parkey. That's the biggest disappointment. I think it has had the most lasting impact. That would be the biggest disappointment, I think, for everyone. Machado, I think, next, based on the way it was built up. There were a lot of hope and a lot of anticipation built up in Manny Machado signing with the White Sox. Didn't happen. I think probably third would be the Cubs, just because you The Joe Ricketts emails were really offensive. Tom Ricketts' explanation was really sort of empty, and the Addison Russell thing is still sort of icky to a lot of people watching him take ground balls like nothing happened. And then I think the Bulls are always there, dependable, reliable, bad, but I think they're fourth.
Oh, I think number one by a mile is Cody Parkey, and I think it's Cody Parkey for a different reason than maybe a lot of other people think it is. I think that for whatever reason, the Bears have been caught short at a position every year, currently in their current rebuild, whatever you want to call it. And the idea that you saw this one coming, that we were playing that doink sound effect for people as a question leading into the game, it was almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. We almost knew that one was coming. They left themselves short at an essential spot. And maybe it cost, I don't know what it cost him. I mean, it cost him that game. Maybe it cost him a trip to the Super Bowl. Who knows? I don't know what would have happened. But I know that one, anybody could see coming. It was a problem. They didn't deal with it. They ignored it. They put their head in the sand. And it happened again. And it was the double doink that time. So I think there was a real difficulty, thank you, in that one. So I'll go with that as number one. It, you know, just from a personal standpoint, as much as anything else, I was very disappointed in Machado, and there was a lot of buildup over it. But yeah, I did. I never really allowed myself to get hurt by it, so it's not that important
to
me.
That's
good.
Yeah,
I'm over it. It's all over. Then I would say the Bulls woes, just because, boy, that's really rough stuff. That was really rough, and I mean, you know, I was thinking as I was planning in my mind to give out my Bulls midseason awards, I couldn't come up with a candidate for Coach of the Year, and that's usually not a difficulty when you have two of them. and then I'll go with the Cubs as the last one. I feel like they kind of prepared us for it, right? Was there ever a point where the Cubs were like, "Yeah, we're going out, we're shopping, we're getting someone"? Oh wait, no, our plan has changed. They pretty much told us every turn. I think there was a lot of lack of belief in what they were saying, but I didn't think that was that controversial.
There's still some people that think they're going to swoop in and get Bryce Harper.
Yeah, I don't think they are.
I don't either.
I think if you listen to what they've been saying all along, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I view this differently because I bring in the level of expectation. Cody Parkey, I fully expected him to miss a big kick in a big spot. I expected the Bulls to have a poor season, and I didn't think Machado was ever coming to the White Sox. So first, I'm going with the Cubs crying poor. And I know they prepared us for it, but I'm going back to the beginning of the offseason when they started to do that. Still a little surprised because they've always been in since Theo has arrived and they opened up that window. They've been in on these big ticket free agents at some point. So I would put that first. Second, I'll go to the Bulls. And yes, we expected them to have a poor season, to be in the lottery, but you don't expect all those injuries. So now it's another wasted season of development with a lot of these young guys. Third, I'll go with the double doink from Cody Parkey. Again, how many did we miss? 10 or 11 kicks during the regular season? And you're going to have to make a big kick in the playoffs if you want to make that run all the way to the Super Bowl. So that's on the GM of the year and the head coach of the year. And then last, I'll go with Machado. But I never felt that he was coming to the South Side.
Well, number one, I have the Bears, and it's not just Cody Parkey. I think it was a lot of things in that game that either I didn't like or I didn't expect or that I thought would be better. You know, I don't think it was Matt Nagy's best game as a play caller. You know, the lack of utilization of Tariq Cohen was huge. They didn't really find Allen Robinson until the fourth quarter. Trubisky didn't play great, in my opinion. We only put up 15 points at home against an Eagles team that was really decimated defensively. So when you factor everything, and not only just Parkey, but the whole enchilada, if you will, I have to put the Bears at number one. Number two, I would say it's probably the Cubs, because not only have they made very few moves and cried poor, which was insulting, and we don't have to go over that again, but you know, the stuff with Addison Russell, the stuff with Joe Ricketts, and all of that trickling down is just a really bad look for the organization. And I think nationally, in particular, the Cubs' reputation has really taken a massive hit. Third, I'm going to go with the Sox missing out on Machado. I never really expected it to happen, and I had said that for a while, so maybe I feel differently about it. And even though, yes, I was very emotional yesterday. I feel a lot better after 24 hours. And fourth, I have the Bulls because I don't think anybody, at least me, I didn't expect much from the Bulls this season. I didn't expect them to be competing for a playoff spot, and they've had other things going wrong in terms of long-term injuries to a lot of key players and Bozo the Clown coaching the team as well. So I would put them as a solid fourth.
Yeah, let's go backwards. So I'm with Kevin on the Bulls. I didn't have a whole lot of expectations, and it's actually almost been fun to see the car wreck that is over on the west side of Chicago. I don't know if the Sox, I don't know how badly the Sox mishandled Machado. It's disappointing. I even wanted to see him over at 35th and Shields. So I'm going to go with that for me personally. Now, this is me, the sports fan, talking. So I'm going to go with that just because I'm more disappointed in the Cubs. And you're disappointed as a fan. They've had a bad off-the-field offseason. Lots of, we could do a ranking on the miscues of the Cubs offseason, 1 through 4 or 1 through 5 or unfortunately 1 through 10. So they're going to be second on my list. And listen, this is a Bears town. I'm a Bears guy. I'm an NFL guy. I'm a football guy. And just the way that went down, okay, that double doink. Now, there's lots of other people to blame, okay? There's lots of other people to blame. But at the end, Cody Parkey had a chance to bail out all the other failures, and he missed horrendously. So with me, number one in a landslide, the most disappointing thing is Cody Parkey.
Thank you for the question, though.
John McDonough might have been right. The red-hot Blackhawks could be a playoff team. What's the biggest reason for the Hawks' resurgence over the last month?
I think there are a lot of reasons. I think Patrick Kane has played unbelievable. The points streak continues, and Taser and DeBrincat and Strom. I mean, they've got a lot of offensive players that are playing very well, and they're scoring a lot of goals, and that is covering up for some of the defensive problems that they're having. But I would say if I had to pick one reason, I think the power play has been really good, and they've been scoring on the power play, and I think that Erik Gustafsson has been a part of that, and he has been a surprising player in a lot of ways, getting better. I don't know that he's not a liability defensively, but he helps on the power play. But, it's Kane in the power play and fill in the blanks.
I think when the Hawks are good, you attract the casual sports fan again. So the bandwagon for the Blackhawks gets really crowded when they start to win at the rate they're winning. So I think to look at it very simply, the Hawks are having fun again. And I don't know that they didn't under Joe Quenneville. I'm not suggesting that necessarily, but there was a staleness that I think they weren't having fun. They weren't winning. They weren't going anywhere. And the coaching changed. Things went south before they headed north again. But this is a team that's playing very loose, playing very free, and they're playing very entertaining brand of hockey. They're not playing a lot of defense, but they're scoring a lot of goals, and they're doing it because the power play works, because they're getting a lot of offensive-minded defensemen who are getting involved, like Erik Gustafsson, and guys who are just well-suited for their system. Their system is, create some defensive mismatches and liabilities. You're going to give up 7 goals and win. And you're going to give up 4-1 leads and win. But you're going to give up a lot, but you still, I don't know if that is sustainable, but until some of these young defensemen get older and you kind of, round out your game defensively.
They took a lead in the first period yesterday, yeah. And they were outshot like 20-12.
That was incredible stat.
Yeah.
That's crazy hockey. Fluky. It was a fluky game.
Well, they were making the most of their opportunities.
They definitely did that. Yeah. And I think they had kind of a fluky goal to begin with, and I don't think the Red Wings were all that alert at times. Dylan Larkin, good player,
though. That was the Anisimov. It looked like he was trying to cross it.
And there was miscommunication behind the net with the Red Wings. Right. I think overall, though, Patrick Kane's playing with a ton of confidence. Jonathan Toews is playing resurgent at both ends. The chemistry between Dylan Strome and Alex DeBrincat is real. And I think a combination of all those factors every night, the consistency is there when it wasn't earlier in the year.
And Joe, we should tell people,
yeah,
they should text at their own risk. Apparently, there is something going wrong on the text line. And if you text us, you get multiple replies. At least that's what a bunch of people are saying. And thank you for telling us that, even if it meant multiple replies. For letting us know.
Right.
We'll try to get that fixed.
They're the real heroes.
That's falling on the sword for you.
You have to go to Patrick Kane here. The 17-game assist streak comes to a halt last night, but you're talking about walking the two players that have the longer assist streak, right? He was that's third all-time 17 games. It's about Gretzky and Adam Oates. That's where he's walking right now. Now, a 19-game point streak, you have to go with Patrick Kane and his play, and as a Blackhawks fan, you hope that this is not going to be a wasted season. His best so far and maybe the best of his career. And also you have to look at time. A lot of times you see in different sports the head coach bump, the change immediately. We've seen it with the St. Louis Blues this season. But you have more time with Jeremy Colleton and getting used to some of the changes, and look what's happening as they've won 10 of 12.
Well, you know, you got to look toward the future Hall of Famers on the roster, and in particular Kane and Taves, who, as always, flying a little bit under the radar of 88, has kind of been the pattern all throughout the Hawks' run. You know, Kane has always kind of been the face, whereas Taves is kind of the guy under the hood making things all tick. So you have both those guys. That's pretty good. DeBrincat's been playing great. But I think Jeremy Colleton deserves a lot of credit for all that Joel Quenneville accomplished here in Chicago, and which was a ton. You know, he's going to go in the Hall of Fame one day. Sometimes, you know, you just need a reboot, so to speak, and you need a new voice, and you need new philosophies, and you do need maybe a little bit of a younger guy. You know, Jeremy Colleton is a millennial. Joe Maddon wouldn't be sure how to manage him, but I think Colleton himself has managed the Blackhawks very well, and I don't think he's getting enough credit in how well they've been playing offensively.
And the Blues may never lose again.
Kaner.
Man, a few words.
You know, that's a good question.
You get used to that. An NFL Network story listed the Bears as one of the four teams that made sense for Antonio Brown. The Steelers also announced they wouldn't apply a franchise tag to Le'Veon Bell. Do either player make sense for the Bears?
Not really. Not really. We'll talk to Greg Gabriel about this at 7:20, I believe. And I think when you look at the names out there, 6:40, I'm sorry. The Antonio Brown rumors are juicy in every NFL city. The Le'Veon Bell rumor will be there for the taking through free agency. I think those are two dynamic, difference-making guys. I don't know how the Bears would fit Antonio Brown onto their salary and onto their payroll. They have like $7 million worth of cap room. They're going to cut Deion Sims, as we heard yesterday, repeated on NFL Network. We've been talking about it for about a month or so. I don't know that they have the cap space for Antonio Brown. I don't know that they have the appetite or the cap space for Le'Veon Bell. I think they can find a running back in the draft. It'd be great to find a spot for Antonio Brown. It would be terrific to find, to line him up opposite Allen Robinson. Line him up instead of Allen Robinson. That's also probably a possibility, but I don't know how realistic it is. So as fun as it will be to consider, as great as they both can be and probably will be next year, I just don't see it happening in Chicago.
I totally understand. Antonio Brown would be good for any team. Antonio Brown's better than any offensive weapon that the Bears currently possess, and he would be a huge step forward for them as an organization. Now, the beauty of Antonio Brown is that he doesn't come with a huge cap number. As we all well know, the way the NFL works is one way to save cap space is to go to a guy and have him rework his contract. He gets a lower base salary, and you spread out the cap hit of the money. So they've done that with Antonio Brown, and really the massive assault on the cap would take place for the Steelers if they wanted to trade him. Now that means there's value to him for the Steelers, so you'd have to give up a lot. You would have to give up draft picks, and the Bears don't have any. Because they've used their draft picks to build this roster as it is. Now, they could get more cap space. It would be nothing for them to do what they used to do with Julius Peppers, go to the pass rusher and have him rework some money.
Restructure
and
I'd imagine that
it would be easy enough to get Khalil Mack to restructure his deal to make sure you got more help, because they're in a win-now mode. Eventually, that comes back and bites you, but that would be putting it into the offing, and there's nothing wrong with doing something like that. They pick up $6 million by doing this. There are other players that they could get rid of and pick up money on. I would totally advocate trying to make a move for Antonio Brown if there was any way of doing it. There isn't. They don't have the draft capital you need to get Antonio Brown because the cap hit's going to be so bad for Pittsburgh. Well, the cap hit's so bad for Pittsburgh that they can't take on other players that are making money, so they would have to take on draft stuff, and the Bears don't have it. So I think it's going to be, you know, it's a minimum of a first and a high.
I don't know. They're saying a lot of people have said that I saw third rounder.
The third rounder?
Now, if it's a third rounder, that's a steal.
Well, I'd do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And you could figure out a way to get the cap space. I mean, there's plenty
of ways.
It's
got to be more than that. That's got to be a low estimate.
They're eating so much cap space, that's worth something. And this guy would come relatively cheap, man. I mean, you know, whatever, $12 million is nothing for a guy like this. And they have to make the move before March because there's a bonus, a roster bonus, a $2 million roster bonus.
It was Joel Corey on CBSSports.com yesterday, pretty respected former agent, who said that he might be had for a third rounder because of the baggage that he would bring.
Wow. I'd totally do that.
Yes.
And then the biggest reason, or what was the second part of it? Le'Veon Bell, forget it. There's no, you can't afford him. You can't pay him. It only costs money, but it's... That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and it sounds like Le'Veon Bell looks like C.J. Anderson right now, according to some of the reports, saying he's 260 pounds.
Looks like Jordan Howard now.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell's a hell of a talent, but a running back that has some mileage on him. They use the heck out of him in Pittsburgh, one of the few every-down backs in this league. The Bears need to score more points with consistency, right? Which player of these two is going to help you do that? It's Antonio Brown, 100%. You think about adding him to this Bears offense, and if it's true, third or fourth rounder, or even a third and a four, yeah, I would 100% be in on adding AB.
If this was Madden or fantasy football or anything of that sort, I would say, yeah, sign both of these guys up. But unfortunately, I think the cost and the management of the cap kind of overrides the need to bring in, especially Le'Veon Bell, who's a player that I like a lot, and I still think that he can be good for several number of years, but I think he's going to be very expensive. I think Antonio Brown is going to be very expensive, and whether you're paying on the cap or whether you're paying with draft capital in the case of Brown, so... I'd love it as a meatball, as a Bears fan, as somebody who wants to see the best players in the league on the team, and these are two of the best players on offense in the entire league. I just don't think realistically it really shakes out that way.
Yeah, realistically, no. But, you know, Mully, you make the wide receiver right now is cheap, right? And you can't find, I don't believe, anybody, let alone Ryan Pace, is going to find that type of talent at the wide receiver position for a third and or a fourth draft pick. You just have to realize that eventually he's going to become an issue, right? You're eventually going to, this would be.
And by cheap, he's $15
million. Right, but I'm saying, but based
for
on
him, yeah.
For, how good is he, right? Is he at least top three, right?
Oh, yeah.
Top three?
Certainly.
So for that, he's cheap.
It's a good question, man, and a timely one.
This segment brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Wolves are home Saturday and Sunday against Central Division rivals. Saturday, the Wolves, it's free tote bag giveaway courtesy of Pet Supplies Plus. And Sunday, you can receive a free GameWorks gift card. For more information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Should Zion Williamson's injury just 33 seconds into Wednesday's game against North Carolina be a sign for him to shut it down and preserve his spot as the likely number one pick in the draft?
Well, the Bulls said they're going to attack the second half of the season. So maybe it'd be good if he ended up as like the fifth pick. That's where they're going to wind up.
Damaged goods.
And wait a year on him. That's so mean. I think they should shut him down. I think he should talk to his parents. And I, as much as everybody wants to say that it's about winning in college and it's about, hey, listen, they're charging how much money for those tickets yesterday?
$2,500, $2,900.
How much is he getting out of
that? They weren't charging that money for the game.
The secondary market,
people were willing to pay that much money for him. And what's his percentage of that? Everybody's making money off him in college. The kid needs to protect his future. He needs to be the number one pick. And this nonsense that he owes it to his teammates and he owes it to the school. The idea of going to college is to get yourself prepared for the next level. He's ready. If I were him, I'd shut it down.
Yeah, President Obama behind the Duke bench saying his shoe broke. That was one of those images that is going to be replayed a lot today. You know, the players are broke, and the players have no money. The players, you know, need money. If anything, last night it was a sign of just how hypocritical the NCAA system remains. And I think that is going to be Exhibit A for why these players need some sort of stipend, some sort of compensation. You can use that as, you know, certainly to make that point. And that's how you begin your presentation for why players need to be compensated, the 2019 version. As for Zion Williamson shutting it down for the rest of the way, look, if he does that, I think it would be very difficult to criticize him. I wouldn't criticize that if that's what his family is comfortable with. I don't know that I would recommend it, because everything that you have heard from him is that he enjoys playing college basketball. This has been good for him. It's been good for his development. We didn't really know as much. Would he have been the number one overall pick had he sat out this year and gone straight from high school to the NBA? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I don't want to diminish the value of 1 year at Duke. I do think there are risks involved. I think he's aware of those risks. If he believes that those are worthwhile risks to take to play in the NCAA tournament, I couldn't fault him for that either. I think he's in a position now where he's got to, only he and his family know what is the best path for him to take in March. And he shouldn't receive pressure from Duke to say, okay, come back and you know, risk injury and risk your livelihood and your future. And nor should he take pressure or hear it from the other side either, where you have to shut it down. This has no value. I think only he knows, and his family's going to make that decision with him.
This question reminds me of my favorite 5 at 5 question of all time, when Rick Renteria was in a hospital asking if it's time to shut Rick Renteria down. But the conversation changed last night with his injury. 2 weeks left in the regular season, the conference tournament coming up, and then the NCAA's, I would shut it down if I were him.
Yeah, see, we all look at Scottie Pippen like he doesn't know what he's talking about. Scottie Pippen knows what he's talking about. He was correct on Zion Williamson, of course. I don't know if his most recent comments about Phil Jackson being able to win with this current Lakers roster was exactly on point, but Scottie might be proven correct once again. We don't know. He's a great soothsayer, apparently. Yes, Zion Williamson last night was a big scare for him, I'm sure. You know, you go down like that with an injury 30 seconds into the game, you don't know how serious it is. You don't know what's going to happen. You got a lot of things running through your mind. And hopefully for him, this was a wake-up call, because college sports mean absolutely nothing to you, the player. You are not benefiting whatsoever from these high ticket prices and the jersey. What? Did he receive a penny last night from that game?
You know, Manny Machado, it's not all about the Benjamins, baby.
Of course it is. The United States of bloody America. It's late capitalism, baby. What else is it other than about the money? What else is it about?
How about an experience?
That and a couple bucks will get you coffee from Dunkin'.
How many people get the former president of the United States coming to your college basketball game at Cameron Indoor Arena?
Tickets when you're a pro.
Okay.
I think he was scouting for the Bulls.
Let's hope so.
He'd be better than Gar.
Was he there?
I think you know he was, actually. I saw
that
on Twitter.
I thought I saw that, yeah.
Is that it?
I don't know. Is Dustin's taking his mic and went home again?
Well, I'm the only one that's not allowed to interrupt anybody else, but all I do is get interrupted, so I'm done.
Well, you interrupted my answer if you want to get technical about it.
Technically, you interrupt all of us.
I'd like to have the debate.
No? Finish your thought.
Okay. Now, Kevin wants to get ahead on spots. We got this new system we're dealing with, so I'm done.
Bus tossed me.
Yeah, and again, for our texters out there, you're getting a lot of...
No, that's been fixed.
It's been addressed.
Oh, we have fixed it?
Yes, shout out to Vibes.
I know we're just a bunch of booger pickers over here, but we got it. We're under control.
Okay.
Booger pickers. See, we need more of that. Come on.
I prefer to refer to myself as a bored monkey.
Don't cut yourself off.
I'm just a drooling booger picker sitting here behind the phone. I want to hear
that. Is that from a texter?
No.
I want to hear your take on Zion Williamson.
Well, I think, you know, were those Nike shoes or were those Jordan shoes?
I don't
know. Maybe, you know, Jordan sent a faulty pair that he knew Zion would wear.
Oh my gosh.
And he's trying to do two things here. Number one, he's trying to let North Carolina win the game by having him blowing out a flip-flop, oops, I stepped on a Pop-Tart, okay, number one. And number two, he doesn't want the Bulls to get Zion Williamson. So, Zion might have a knee. Let's overthink this. Maybe we shouldn't draft him. So he's trying to mess with the Bulls, and he's trying to have his Carolina Tar Heels, who he loves, beat his arch rival Duke. So that's my conspiracy theory on the shoe.
And it was a blowout. I mean, the game was a blowout after the blowout.
It made it easier for me to go to sleep last night.
Sorry.
So you have a whole list of shoe puns there in front of you.
Oh, I could keep going.
Lace them up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.